Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's salvation in that name tonight. There's not a thing in life that we can face that the name of Jesus cannot bring the victory over. His name will do what he would do if he was standing here right now. He's given us his name to do those very works. That name sets the captives free. That name, hallelujah. I didn't know what they were singing tonight, and I planned on preaching on the name of Jesus, and they sang those songs, and I just thought about some of these others as I was sitting there. Praise the Lord. Give them a big hand clap. Thank you, guys. A lot of you may not know this, but on the piano tonight, this is my brother-in-law. That's Mike. He's my brother-in-law. He was a worship leader. I worked for his dad for 9 years at a church right after I graduated from Rhema. Then Mike came a few years after I got there and took over worship leading for me. Praise the Lord. And so we've sung those songs many times. His dad's favorite song probably still is Emmanuel, that last one we sang. But sometimes, you know, the simple, just simple little choruses that rise up. And then whatever God gives you concerning your situation. Amen? You might be facing a situation. You might have spoken to something in your life using the name of Jesus. Amen? And you just might be going along and God give you something. You know, singing about how the mountain's moving. Amen? Glory to God. You may not see it on this side of the mountain, but the other side of the mountain's crumbling. And it's not going to be long if you don't give up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. During camp meeting, I don't know, Brother Daryl Huffman was preaching that first service, and I was there listening, and I think it was the first service, but I just kept hearing this, don't give up what he said he'll do. Don't give up, he's going to see you through. Don't give up, he's faithful and true. Don't give up, still working in you. Amen. Glory to God. I've been singing it to myself. It's not, you put your own tune to it, you know. Hallelujah. You know, whatever your background is. Some of you got Church of God in Christ background. You got a little, you know, you clap on the other beat. Amen. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Brother Hagin prophesied this in 1979. At graduation, we call it the tramp, tramp, tramp prophecy. But towards the end, he said, these are they who know the mighty name, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. They are those who know how to take the name and break the power of darkness over lives, the minds, the bodies, the spirits of men and set them free. Yea, they are those with the message of deliverance, the message of healing, the message of victory, the message of God. In that name. I find it interesting that we've been given, according to the scripture, we're going to look at several scriptures tonight. If you want to start with me, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. But we've been given authority to do exactly that, to take that name, the name of Jesus, and break the power of darkness, not only over our own lives, but over the lives of others. In that name. We sang it tonight. There's freedom in that name. There's healing in that name. Yes, yes for us, but how about for the rest of the world? How about taking that name to a lost and dying world that has no answer? You know, I found this out. People won't be your enemy when you get their bodies healed. When you cast the devil out of their drug-addicted child. Come on now. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 1. That name, that wonderful name. Ephesians 1, starting verse 17 there. Says, Paul praying here, and this is a prayer we can pray for ourselves, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? How many believers we got in here tonight? that power is towards you. The power of God. What kind of power is it? Resurrection power. But it's also a power that you've been given. We've been given authority to use. He goes on here to say, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and authorities, the word power, there should be authorities, and might, which is dunamis, and dominion, and every name that is named. Now think about that. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he set him at his right hand, at the right hand of God. The right hand of the king, of a ruler, is the place of power. That's who the authority of the king and the power of the king flows through, the right hand. And Jesus, remember Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 8, he said, all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You go. He conferred that very authority he was given to us. And he gave us his name. We don't come in our own name. I don't come in the name of Tad. I come in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But that name, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In other words, I don't care if you might not have even heard the name yet. You still, Jesus' name is above it. He obtained that name by conquering death, hell, and the grave. He was given a name that's above every name. Glory to God. Far above all principality. And has put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Are the feet in the body? And all things are under his feet? All things are under us. We're the body. Hallelujah. And we exercise that authority through using the name of Jesus. You know, the name of Jesus is the key. The key. I don't know what something about this pulpit just makes you want to stand behind it. I don't know. I usually wander around. But this, I just like standing behind this pulpit. This is, amen. There's no special anointing left on it or anything, you know. Oh, Brother Hagin preached. Yeah, he preached from a lot of pulpits. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, glory to God. Now, we thank God for those, you know, ministers that have come before us and the great anointings and those that were in our midst today, the great anointings that are upon them. But you know what's greater than that? The same anointed, the same one that anointed them lives in you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Greater, greater one, the mighty Holy Ghost, the mighty one lives on the inside of us. The mighty one, greater, greater, the greater one. He's greater than anything that you and I are going to encounter in this life. He's greater than everything. I mean, he's greater than the hatred and the injustice that's in the world. He's greater than the, you know, the poverty and lack in the world. He's greater than any sickness, any disease, any calamity that might come. He's the greater one. He's on the inside of us. Here in Hebrews 1, I'm going to read this from the New King James, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, and who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Now remember, when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, he gave him authority, right? And gave him that name. But let's look at this. This is, having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He inherited a name. Now, how did he inherit it? Let's read on here, because he tells us exactly, by the time we get to verse 8, how this happened. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, he's not talking about when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He's talking about when Jesus was raised from the dead here. All right? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers flame of fire. Verse 8, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Now, I want you to notice here, that God, what we have here is a great example of a covenant ceremony, a blood covenant, where name exchange takes place, thus signifying everything I can do, you can now do. All right? So here's Johnny down there. So if Johnny and Tad make a covenant, Johnny can go by Tad, or Johnny Tad from now on. I can go by Tad Johnny from now on, telling anybody that comes my way, and I'm probably going to have some type of covenant mark on me, that, hey, I'm not coming at you in my own strength. Shave my head. Now, I'm going to shave my head. I'm happy to have the hair I got. See, my side of the family is strong in hair. Your side of the family can have shaved heads. But we're one. We're now one. But we come. We come in that name. Here, God calls the Son, Jesus, God. Well, he is God, isn't he? God the Son. But I want you to see this takes place. That's by inheritance, he has obtained a more excellent name. By conquest, by inheritance. Then look at Philippians chapter 2. These aren't new things, but things we need to keep reminding ourselves of. Keep reminding ourselves of. And, you know, we were taught that every generation has to be taught. You know, we've got students that come to Raymond now that have never read a book by Kenneth Hagin. Either one of them. Kenneth E. or Kenneth W. They've never heard. They've heard of Raymond, but they've never heard of Faith Library publication. They've never read anything about it. How many of you know that it's a generation that has to be taught? You might be new in the Lord. You deserve to be taught. Sometimes we make the mistake of, you know, it's not the new thing that puts us over. It's what we know and continually do and practice in life that puts us over. Right? That's why, you know, you think, well, why in the world would professional football players need to have training camp? Because they go back over the fundamentals over again. And then these days, they don't do it to get in shape. Used to be they came to get in shape. Now, if they don't show up in shape, they're in bad trouble. They stay in shape all the time. But going over, and it's not doing something new that gets them. It's doing what they've done over and over with excellence and continue to do that, to build upon that. And so we need to be that way in the body of Christ. We need to continually go over these areas, especially the name of Jesus. Especially we're going to read in Colossians that whatever we do or say, we're supposed to do it all in the name of Jesus. We should be experts in taking the name of Jesus and winning every time. Not only for ourselves, but for others, whoever we come in contact with. That name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In his book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus by E.W. Kenyon, he says this concerning the threefold greatness of the name of Jesus. This is on page 7 of my copy. Says, some men are born to a great name as a czar or a king. Others make their name great by achievement or have a great name conferred upon them. Jesus is great because he inherited a great name. His name is great because of achievements, sorry, and he is great because a great name was conferred upon him. He inherited a greater name than any angelic being, and as a son, he is the heir of all things, and through him the ages have been brought into being. He is he's the very outshining of the Father, he said. His name comes to him as an inheritance, and what it must have been to have inherited this name from his great Father God. If it tells us in Hebrews that he inherited a greater name than the angels, here it declares in his comment about Philippians 2, that God gave unto him the name which is above every name. Now listen to this. The inference is that there was a name known in heaven, unknown elsewhere, and this name was kept to be conferred upon someone who should merit it. And Jesus, as we know him, the eternal Son, and as he is known in the bosom of the Father, was given this name. And at this name, every knee shall bow in three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus, that he is Lord of the three worlds to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter. This name has authority in all three realms. In heaven, on earth, and in hell itself, the name of Jesus. We can break the power of the devil using that name. So what are we supposed to do with that name? Well, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Let's remind ourselves of some things the Bible says we're to do with that name. Start with Mark 16. I was kind of scrolling on my Facebook feed and saw a feed from my brother-in-law who pastors a church up there in Illinois, the one that Mike's dad used to pastor. My brother-in-law pastors that church now, my other brother-in-law. And he preached on the name of Jesus today. I wanted to ask him if he stole my sermon, but I didn't have time to call him. But the name. Tell your neighbor, the name. Tell your other neighbor, it's greater. That name. What is that name? Oh, say it like you mean it. What's the name? Jesus. Jesus. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You said, how many believers in here again? In my name, Jesus said. This is Jesus talking. In my name shall they cast out devils. So what does that mean? In the name of Jesus. Again, not in Tad's name, not my own strength, not my own, you know, abilities or my own holiness, as Peter tried to explain to them in Acts 3. It's by the name of Jesus. In the name we can cast out devils. Well, if we can cast them out, that must mean we have authority over them. If they have to obey us in the name of Jesus, that means Jesus has authority and he's conferred that to us. She'll speak with new tongues. She'll take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing. Now, he's not talking about proving your faith by snake handling and poisonous spiders and all kinds of other dumb stuff I've heard. He's talking about dealing with the power of the devil. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's for every traveling minister and missionary in the world right there, that one. I've stood on that many times. They shall lay hands on the sick. Who? The pastors? No, the believer. How many believers are in here? All right. You raise your hand, you're a believer. Look up at that hand. You can take that hand, lay it upon the sick person in the name of Jesus and expect them to be healed. Not hope, not wonder. They shall be healed. Believers shall lay hands on the sick. Amen. Now, you know, people say that, well, why don't you just go to the hospital? Well, you have to have people cooperate with you. I just can't lay hands on everybody, you know, and just because. But if I can just get them to say, okay, it's okay if you pray for me or lay hands on me, then I can help them. Amen? We saw people this past, in June, that we were, as we had part of our group that went to Kenya, was out doing some street ministry. And one fella, found out later, was a Muslim, didn't know it at the time, but he couldn't see very well. He couldn't read at all. He could see shadows, but he couldn't read. Well, one of the team members just said, if it's okay if I pray. Well, yeah, it's okay if you pray for me. And he laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, commanded his eyesight to be healed, and instantly he could see better. Instantly. He said, well, here, can you read this in my Bible? Can you read that? Yeah, I was been blessed to be educated. He could read the Bible. He said, I can see it. Amen. Guess what? He's no longer Muslim. He showed up to church on Sunday with his family, told the whole community. Everybody in the whole community knew he was the only Muslim in the whole place. The whole community, they all know him, and they all, amen. They added 7 families to the church through this one man getting saved and getting healed. Before anybody ever talked to him about accepting Jesus, Jesus' name will heal them. Glory to God. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, what else could we do? How about John 14? Turn over to John 14. These are all things we do in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14. Jesus speaking here again. Let's start in verse 12. Verily, verily. Somebody said one time that means, I swear I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's probably pretty close. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes. Any believers in here? Again. All right, I'm going to keep asking you. Because these are things that we're supposed to be doing. Not just would be nice, we're supposed to be doing these things. If anybody believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. What's that name again? Jesus. Whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, that Jesus will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything, Jesus said, in my name, I will do. Not I might, I will do it. All right, John 16. So there's using the name in ministry. We can pray in that name. John 16, 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Not might, you shall. I hope not. I hope so. No, if you're hoping so, you didn't pray in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the guarantee. Now, obviously, you can't pray something that's not God's will. I don't know if it's as much in practice as it was. Boy, back in the day, I mean, things are a whole lot different. We've had 40 years of teaching since I showed up at Rhema. In August of 1982, showed up as a 21-year-old kid, you know, just been saved 2 years, barely, showed up, and just a lot of things have changed, you know, because the Word of God's gone forth. But you realize there wasn't any churches, very hardly any churches out there in the early 80s that were teaching faith and teaching these things, all right? And so we read the books. We done the best we could, but, you know, we hadn't been taught a whole lot. I mean, people had all kinds of strange things that, you know, at least I will say one thing. We had courage and boldness. It was zeal, but it wasn't always with knowledge. But there were people, they believed they could use the name of Jesus to do anything. All right? Like, claim someone to be their spouse who wants nothing to do with them whatsoever. I claim you in Jesus' name. I claim you as my husband or my wife, whatever the case might be. I claim you in Jesus' name. Come on, now some of you have been around, you know what I'm talking about. You remember those days. Very first class, I think I sat in at Rhema. Sheila was sitting right next to me. Her maiden name was Gandy, so I was Gregor's Gandy. There we were right there. And John and Laura Madden sitting a little bit away, so I was drawing with colored pencils all over the paper. I had no idea what they were doing. They said they were taking notes. I thought it was, I used to sit there and watch them just color sometimes. What are we talking about in here? But look at Acts chapter 3 here. Look at verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, notice here, Peter acts like he has the right and is in possession of the name of Jesus. That it's part of his inheritance, just as much as it's part of Jesus' inheritance, because he's a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, in my name, go do these things. And they were just simple enough to just believe what Jesus said to work. So he said, I don't have any money on me, because if you read about it, they'd given it all away at the end of chapter 2. All right, so everybody could, the widows would be, all that kind of stuff. And so here he is. Said, I don't have any, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now that didn't work because it was Peter. I wonder, you know, people say, well, that doesn't work today. Well, then the name of Jesus has lost its power. If it won't work for us like it worked for Peter, then the name, because he did it in the name. Because later on they questioned, he said it wasn't our holiness, it wasn't because of who we are. It's because of that name. Look there in verse 16, same chapter, 3:16. I love this verse. It says, His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, faith, which is by Him, has given him, I love this part, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I'm telling you what, when I lay hands on the sick, when I lay hands on somebody in the name of Jesus, I'm expecting them to have perfect soundness. Whatever that sickness or disease, whatever it is, has tried to do against them, they're coming back 100% as if it had never, ever existed in their body before, because the name of Jesus is not only going to drive out the sickness and disease, it's going to heal their body. It's going to restore them to perfect soundness. Look over there in Acts chapter 4. So see, we have that name to give. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name. There's none other name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, if you just knew what that word saved meant. If you just knew what the New Testament word for salvation meant. It doesn't mean I get a trip to heaven. It means so much more than that. Hallelujah. It means deliverance. It means preservation. It means safety. It means healing. It means salvation means you're totally translated out of the kingdom of darkness, totally translated out of the power of sin into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm saved, glory to God. And when I got saved, I got healed in my body. When I got saved, my finances got saved. When I got saved, my relationships got saved. When I got saved, I got saved in the name of Jesus. Woo, glory to God. That name. Right along with that, another scripture, Romans 10:13. Whosoever. Oh, how many whosoevers we got in here tonight? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon that name for healing. Call upon that name. Now, I will say this. I might look at it a little bit different than maybe some of you do, but let me help you here. This will help you. I'm not the sick trying to be healed. I'm the healed. The devil's trying to steal my healing. That's why I stand up. I got authority over him. No, you don't. No, you don't, Mr. Devil. No, you don't. I was talking to Craig on Wednesday night, Pastor Craig, and he was talking about something. And he said, yes, so-and-so got diagnosed with COVID. He goes, it doesn't bother me. He goes, I don't participate in COVID. I said, I'm same way, brother. Praise the Lord. I'm a non-participant because COVID's under the name of Jesus. It's got a name. When they gave it a name, they put it under the name of Jesus. When they name whatever, when you go to the doctor and he names what your diagnosis with, don't get mad at him. He's just telling you the facts as he sees it. But you got a truth that this is under the name. Thank you for giving me the name. I may not be able to pronounce it. I may not be able to even spell it. But you gave it a name, and I want to thank you for the name, because I got a name that's greater than that name. It's the name of Jesus. And when I speak that name, demons tremble. When I speak that name, salvation comes. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Then finally, look over there in Colossians chapter 3. That name, hallelujah. The name that's above every name, that Jesus got by conquest, by inheritance, and given to him by God. That name, we have the right to use that name. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So it doesn't matter. Maybe that does tell me this. Maybe if you can't say it or do it in the name of Jesus, don't let it be part of your life. Pastor Craig brought up, you know, if you heard Tommy Pickens preach at camp meeting, then Pastor Craig quoted him, but Jerry Savelle's daughter, Terry, she said, she started adding, if she said something, she would say, and that's exactly how I wanted her. That's the way I want it. Well, that'll stop you saying some things. Well, I'm just so tired, and that's exactly the way I want it. Amen. Well, I just feel horrible in Jesus' name. You see, you can't say that in the name of Jesus. Now, how many of there sometimes you don't feel good? That's all right. But don't stay there. Amen. Brother Hagin talked about, he said, I passed up a lot of good opportunities to be sick. You can do it. There wasn't anything special about him. If he could do it, we can do it. But how do you do it? You speak to it in the name of Jesus. No, you don't, devil. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't, pain. No, you don't. Whatever, you know. No, you don't, in Jesus' name. We have that name. And whatever we do and whatever we say is supposed to be done in that name. And the great thing about it, I found out all over the world, I've heard that name pronounced all kinds of different ways in different languages, and it works no matter what language it's in. That name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That name, it doesn't matter what how you say it, it works. Whatever language it's in being spoken, if you use that name, the name of Jesus, it works, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that name in every language has authority over the devil. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness this age, spiritual wickedness in high places, the name of Jesus. You know, some folks, they want to do all kinds of study and figure out what all those different demons are. I don't care what demons are involved with that. We've got authority over them in the name of Jesus. Authority over them. You know, here's something else we can use. You can use the name. We can use the name to overcome temptation. You know, some folks, I think sometimes, and I know, they're in Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we've got this build up in our mind that we got to hunker down, you know, and get strong. He said, in the Lord. Well, when I use that name, amen. You see, here's what we need to teach people and teach young people today, they're growing up. When that temptation comes, or when that thought comes, to try to figure out who you are and identify what gender you are, you can take the name of Jesus and put that thought on the run. When that thought comes to look at whatever you shouldn't be looking at on the internet, when that thought comes, listen to me now, when that temptation comes your way to do what you shouldn't be doing, until you're married. Do I have to get plainer? I think you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You've got to speak the name of Jesus. You cannot afford to be passive. Now I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We'll end with this. I didn't give it to him up. They can find him. Revelation 12. We'll end with this tonight. Don't get passive. Be aggressive with the name of Jesus. I would hate to go into battle and have the weapon to win and never pull it out and get whooped. I understand sometimes people think too much. I think Christians overthink situations too. But you know, I enjoy baseball. I even like watching on TV. I know some of you are just like, oh, I like golf too on TV. So, you know, I know I like the boring stuff you don't necessarily watch. And when the World Cup, when we were in Brazil, what year was it? Anyway, we were in Brazil when the World Cup was there. I became a soccer fan. I can watch a whole match now. I realize sometimes it's 0-0, or I'm sorry, 0-0. I finally learned, you know, the rules and watched it enough, you know, that I figured out. I can sit there. I just like it. I know some people's like, they played 90 minutes. Now we get extra time. People falling over when they weren't even hit. Amen. But baseball, you got this guy up at the plate. He's the best hitter on your team. He comes up in a game-winning situation and never swings the bat at three balls that go by that are called strikes, and he's out. Now, Amanda can't figure out why I yell at the TV. But these guys are getting paid lots of money to do that. How much greater of a travesty is it when we've got the name of Jesus to use when it, on our lips, speak it out in faith? David came at Goliath and said, all this, he said, but I come at you in the name of the God of the host of Israel. I come at you in the name of our God. If David could do that, facing an actual giant, woo, glory to God. We got a name that's above every name. We got a name that we can use. But the devil knows, the devil knows that he's in trouble. And these days you wonder why things are the way they are these days. Look at Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil's come down into you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Hallelujah. Next time he comes against you, and how do you know if it's the devil coming against you? If it's against the word of God, if it's stealing, killing, or destroying, just say, no, you don't, short timer. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You reared your head and it just made your time shorter. You should have just stayed in the background, but no, you had to raise up your big head. You had to get it out there. You've come down. No, you don't, in Jesus' name. Amen. But if I stay silent, he just does whatever he wants. Don't let the devil have access to your life. Get the name of Jesus on your tongue. Speak it out. Talk to him. Mark 11:23 says, speak to the mountain. Speak to him. You can tell sickness and disease to leave your body. You can lay hands on the person that's sick in their body and have them healed. All done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's that name?
Jesus.
What's that name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands up. Just thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Glory to God. You know, of course, we've got Brother Hagin's book, Pastor Hagin's book's outstanding in the books. Study. Remind yourself of these things about that name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and receive a special birthday offering for Pastor Hagin tonight as they're out of town. Gives us opportunity to do that. So if you prepare yourself for that, if you want a text to give that, it's 28950. You put Hagin, H-A-G-I-N, and then my space and the amount. You write a check, make it out to Rhema Bible Church, but fill out an envelope. If you want to give cash and get a record of, fill out the envelope and make sure you put birthday offering or something on the line there. And we'll make sure it all goes to them. And praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor turns 83 years old this year. 83 years old. Same age as my mom and dad. And hallelujah. That's why when I was here as a student and I played on the City League softball, and I played basketball with them, played on their softball team that played in the City League. At that time, we didn't have Rhema Bible Church, but he said, "Now I'm just Ken out here." I said, "You're my dad. I was raised different than that. I cannot call you Ken." He said, "Well, don't call me Reverend. I don't want to be Reverend on the softball." I said, "How about Brother Ken?" He said, "That'll work." He called me Taddy Bear. Yeah. Thank God he doesn't do that anymore. Don't remind him. I might as well not even say that. Five of you will walk up to him. Do you remember? Anyway. All right. Ushers, if you prepare yourself, let's hold up our offerings. Father, we thank you for Pastor Hagin. Thank you, Father, for his life. Thank you for strength in his body, sharpness in his mind, Lord God, that he live as long as he wants to till he's satisfied. And we want this birthday present to be a great blessing to him. We just thank you for it. Bless each gift and giver in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if you would just kind of hang out, other than our prayer team can go ahead and come on down. Don't get up and move around, please, while the ushers are serving people. We'll ask our prayer team to come. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, our prayer team will pray with you according to the word of God and pray with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do we have first-time guests? And I'm sure you guys took care of them already. Is that right, ushers, if we had any? Amen.
Glory to God.
Some of you that have moved here to be part of Rhema Bible Training College and be part of Rhema Bible Church, go ahead and start volunteering now. Get a volunteer application. Greg oversees that, but get the application in the north lobby. Fill that out. We need ushers. We need connection team. We need prayer workers. We need all. We'll train you, and you learn things, and you get to see a part of the ministry, and it's part of your training just to be involved. Also with the children's ministry. If you want to be involved with children's ministry, you go to the resource room, which is off the east lobby over here. The other thing, if you're here for school, learn your north, south, east, and west. Okay? And we'll talk to you about some other things that you have to learn. We have our own language around here. We have Rhema-ese around here. You have to learn all the acronyms for everything, but we'll help you with that. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up as our ushers, they're about ready to finish. Let's all stand up tonight. How many of you are going to use the name of Jesus? Amen? Not ashamed to use it. Not ashamed to use it. Not being prideful about it. It's not you. It's not me. But it's that name. We have it, just like Peter had it and John. Such as we have. Let's give it to the, we owe it. We owe it to Jesus to take his name to the world, right? Use it for yourself and use it to help others. Praise the Lord. I think I see the last one going across there. All right. Praise God. If you need prayer coming down, ladies, the ladies, men to the men. Otherwise, you can be dismissed. See you Wednesday night for Hour of Power, 7 o'clock. God bless you.